The story of Charles Lewis Tiffany. Born at Killingley, Connecticut in 1812, Charles Tiffany came from a line of early New England settlers. His father, a cotton manufacturer, gave the boy a good education, and on leaving Plainfield Academy, the lad went into partnership with his father. Then, at the age of 25 years, young Tiffany made a great decision.
Charles, what is this I hear about you wanting to go to New York?
Well, Father, I'm getting no satisfaction out of my work. It's merely a means to provide necessities.
Well, isn't that sufficient?
No, sir. No matter how hard I work here, I never have the feeling that I've accomplished much.
I'm thinking I was wrong when I placed you in charge of that general store we had when you were a boy, Charles.
I was very happy there, Father. I made that store pay for itself. I'm sure I can do the same again with one in New York. I want to try out some of my ideas I have with artware and gifts. There's quite a market in New York.
How do you know that?
I've been keeping in touch with John Young.
Yes?
My intention was to go into business with him.
I see. How much money have you and John?
Just a few $100s, sir.
And you expect to buy enough merchandise with a few $100s to start a gift shop? Absurd.
I think it can be done, sir.
Well, I don't. And to prove it, well, I'm going to let you go right ahead. And what's more, I'm going to help you.
Help me?
Yes. When do you intend leaving?
Tomorrow, if possible.
All right, then. Yeah. Now, I'm going to make out this check for $1,000.
$1,000? That's very kind of you, sir.
No, Charles, it's not kind of me. This is merely a business loan I'm making. Your failure won't be blamed on lack of funds.
There won't be any failure, sir.
We'll see, my boy. We'll see.
Charles Tiffany and John Young opened a store at 259 Broadway in New York. With careful buying, their slim capital was enough to stock their small sales room with Chinese pottery, artware, bric-a-brac, and stationery. But in the display windows, Charles Tiffany used an artistry that was to make him famous in the years to come.
How does the window look from the outside, Charles?
Well, it's not right, John. Hand me that piece of white silk. I think if we put that blue vase in the center to stand on this, and use the black velvet as a base, it might set it off properly. Let's try it.
All right. I'll get those lacquer boxes out of the way.
Well, that'll be enough room. This vase isn't the most costly thing we have, but it's a good thing to build around.
Is that all right?
Yes, that'll do. This white silk shows up well against the black. And I think if we fold these corners under, it won't look as if it's been definitely put there for effect. Now the blue Chinese vase. There, that might do it.
Mm-hmm. Let's go outside and see.
All right.
Well, that looks fine to me, Charles.
Yes, I think it'll do. Do you see what I mean, John, when I say everything must have its setting?
Yes. Yes, I think I'm beginning to understand.
Whatever we put in the window must show to the best advantage. If we're going to catch the eye of the passing shopper, we must look on each displayed piece as a separate jewel and give it the setting it deserves.
The art of display was one of the secrets of Charles Tiffany's rise to fame. The opening of that store was a great success. Broadway soon caught the habit of going to Tiffany and Young for gifts, and the partnership was further sealed when Tiffany married Harriet Young, his partner's sister. In 1847, new quarters had to be found, and the firm ceased most of its importations and began manufacturing its own gold jewelry. A year later, Charles Tiffany's peculiar business foresight came into play. At dinner one night, he discussed a proposition with his partner.
Tell you, I can't see it, Charles. Why spend a great deal of money in Europe when their markets are all unbalanced?
That's just the reason I think it'll work, John. Europeans have been putting their money into precious stones instead of into banks. And now the French banks are going to start closing up. The aristocracy will need ready money, and consequently, they'll sell their jewels. I think you ought to be over there, John. And when they come into the market, buy them up.
But it'll mean tying up so much of our capital.
If we need more money, we'll borrow it. We have a representative there with cash. We'll be able to pick up priceless heirlooms and historical jewels for a fraction of their value.
But good heavens, man. When can we realize any profit on the stuff?
Within 30 days.
30 days? Why, it'll be a year, too.
Coming along.
All right. Oh, Banks, do you think you can push that hand truck as far as my house and keep to the alleys all the way?
I think so, sir.
Good. Go to it and good luck.
That mouth's getting close.
Climb on, then. Hold tight.
Good luck to you, sir.
Are they shooting at us?
Yes. Hold on and keep your head down. Get up, Meg.
What are you doing? We're driving right into them.
Well, I want to reach that corner before they do. It might send the mob down across the street. Hang on. Hold on. I'm going to send that corner on 2 wheels. Here we go. Get up, Meg. Keep down, John. Keep down.
We've made it, Charles. We've made it.
That sure was a close shave.
Yes, John. We still have our silver and our store.
In 1867, the Tiffany display of domestic silverware gained the first award at the Paris Exposition. The royalty of Europe vied with each other in conferring honors upon him. November 30th, 1891. A celebration is taking place in the home of Charles Tiffany's oldest son. At one end of the table, a white-haired man and woman sit hand in hand. A hush falls over the happy gathering as the aged couple rises, fingers still entwined.
My dear family and our friends, you've been very kind in your little speeches, especially to me. You've all referred to a certain business foresight which I am said to possess. But it has been left for me to refer to the foresight I employed when I chose a wife who could put up with me for 50 years. Harriet, my dear, I'm grateful to you for the great courage you have given me on this long road to success. Ours has been a great career.
Yes, girl.
And I say to the gentlemen present here, that the wife of a businessman can play one of the greatest parts in his business. What man has ever been a success without the inspiring loyalty of the woman who loves him?
But there's also the other side, Charles.
Huh? The other side, my dear?
Yes, the wife side. Charles has been the most wonderful partner in this business of life that any woman ever had.
Thank you, my dear. Well, friends, words can hardly express our appreciation for all the beautiful presents you've brought us tonight, our golden wedding anniversary. We wish to give thanks to the master goldsmith for his gift of this long and happy life. Thank you.
The name of Charles Lewis Tiffany is engraved deeply on the history of American business. It is written in artistic lettering, for the man who built the foremost jewelry house of America was one of the founders of the New York Society of Fine Arts and a trustee of the American Museum of Natural History. His affiliations in the artistic societies of America were many, and those who knew him point with pride to the great line of unbroken friendships that were his. At heart, he was an artist. Yet he will best be remembered as Charles Lewis Tiffany, Captain of Industry.